And welcome back. The desire for closer cooperation in our politically fragmented region has long been the subject of debate. Many consider the duplication of many services and myriad political jurisdictions inefficient. Then there are those who believe it keeps government and services closer to constituents. For the next year or so, a series of forums will be held here to assess the issue. Construction Forum STL is bringing together civic and political leaders to examine the issue of regional collaboration. This morning, the first of five forums was held here, titled Putting the Pieces Together. It featured our next guest, David Rusk. He's the former mayor of Albuquerque and an urban policy expert who has written extensively on urban issues. David, thanks so much for being with us.
I'm delighted to be here. Thank you.
You've spent the last couple of days talking to people here about our situation. What have you learned? What do you think?
Well, let me say, first of all, I really should have paid all of you folks to allow me to come here to speak with you rather than my being paid as your consultant, because I sit in Washington, D.C. That's my home office, and that's also the epicenter of you know, gridlock in American government. And so as I'm sitting on my computer working up all this information about St. Louis and the like, I'm listening to the radio news. I'm listening to the news. I'm listening to the TV cable commentary shows, and it's pretty depressing. And to come out here to St. Louis community and to meet so many fine elected leaders, business leaders, civic leaders, activist citizens, just reminds me that America really is filled with an awful lot of good people. And that lifts my morale and lifts my spirit a great deal. So the first thing I carry away from this visit, for me personally, is simply a rejuvenation of a sense of hope and confidence in our future as a nation.
Well, you know, well, that's great to hear. I'm glad that we have contributed that to you. However, we've been talking about this fragmentation issue here for as long as I've been in St. Louis, which is for a long time. And nothing seems to change. I mean, people want change and they don't want change. What ideas do you have for making it work so that everybody's happy?
Well, first of all, there's a very a strong commitment that people have to what they know. And in a sense, being a region of multiple municipal governments and now with sprawl, multiple counties even, I think people are, as disenchanted as they may be sometimes, more trusting of the devil they know than the devil that they don't know in terms of change. But the other thing I would emphasize is that the issue isn't merging governments, really. The issue is how can you build structures and a spirit in which the local governments work together much more readily around common problems and to solve common issues. And there are regions that are very much like yours. I think of the Twin Cities region, for example, which have been very successful in doing that.
And there are others as well. I know that Pittsburgh is often cited. I think Louisville also is often cited as having similar kinds of situations that have been worked upon fairly successfully. So it can happen.
Well, the forum is actually going to present back in February a second speaker, Dr. David Miller from the University of Pittsburgh, who's been very active on the civic scene in terms of what they've tried to form in the greater Pittsburgh area. There is, I know, one of the issues here currently is a renewed effort to talk about ending the great divorce between the city of St. Louis and St. Louis County that occurred almost 150 years ago. And that often takes the form of saying, well, let's just consolidate the city of St. Louis and St. Louis County as the proponents see, whether the consolidation of Nashville-Davidson County or Jacksonville-Duval County or Indianapolis-Marion County several decades ago. And in those cases, the consolidation had the result of taking a struggling and slowly declining central city, in many ways like St. Louis City, and suddenly lifting it to big league status and a level of prosperity. That is to misunderstand the nature, the true nature of city-county consolidation. There are really two realities that I think sometimes the champions of the idea tend to ignore or overlook. One is that, setting aside all the public relations, fall to all, city-county consolidation in Indianapolis, Marion County, or Nashville, Davidson County, or Jacksonville, Duval County, really represented a giant one-time annexation of hundreds of square miles of unincorporated and largely undeveloped land within those counties that were added to the resource base of the old struggling boundary-constrained central city. In effect, it was kind of a dowry that the county brought to the marriage with the city. Well, there's virtually no dowry left in St. Louis County. There's a modest amount of unincorporated land, and for the most part, that's pretty well built on, so that there isn't that benefit that would come to a consolidated city of St. Louis and St. Louis County. There is a second reality, and that is that in none of these consolidations, wherever there was an existing smaller municipalities, did the smaller municipalities ever merge with the consolidation. They continued their independent existence. Six such municipalities in Nashville, Davidson County, four in Jacksonville. And so you're not going to get rid in any way of the 90 independent municipalities right. in St. Louis County.
That's where we are now. I mean, we're exactly in that place.
That's right.
But here, and you know this, I'm sure, better than I do. We also have, you know, a couple of dozen police departments in St. Louis County and the county police department itself. We've got numerous school districts. We've got any number of entities that just seem terrifically inefficient to a lot of people because if they were consolidated, it would be far more efficient and a lot of money would be saved.
Not really. I mean, I've done some pretty careful studies of this.
That's why I said I thought you knew better than I.
Remember now, you're talking about X number of people to be served in each one of these school districts, each one of these municipalities. And there conceivably would be some savings at the level of a superintendent or the staff support for fewer number of school boards. But you're still going to need all the teachers. You're still going to need all the principals. Still going to need all the support personnel in the schools. There's not that much to be saved, whether you're talking about school consolidation or municipal consolidation. What the keys are is that when you have an awful lot of little boxes municipalities or little boxes school districts, that facilitates greater racial and economic segregation. And that's where the real price is being paid, that there is a greater level of economic and racial segregation within the 90 among the 90 municipalities of St. Louis County than there is within among the 115 census tract neighborhoods of the city of Albuquerque. Because in the city of Albuquerque, they're still all part of the same big box. And so different classes, different ethnic backgrounds just kind of move around and meld together more readily than they might in all these little boxes.
So what is the answer? It seems to me like what you're saying is just maintain the status quo.
No. The answer, I think, functions at two levels. When you talk about these questions of municipal services or conceivably school district activities, you can forge ways of promoting more intergovernmental collaboration, particularly under ground rules where if a given municipality is part of the problem, it has to be part of the solution. It can't just by its own nature walk away from the table and say, I don't want to be a part of solving this problem. And I've made some suggestions about how that can occur. But if anything, the larger issue is how do you compete as a 2 to 3 million person, 900 plus square mile region. And how do you organize yourself as a big bucks to compete with the Charlottes and the Austins and the like around the country? Because the fragmentation of government has been shown to slow a region's economic growth.
Well, how do you do that?
Well, there are models that you can look to that, perhaps with appropriate modifications, could serve the St. Louis area. You already have two basically region-wide institutions. One is the East-West Gateway Council of Governments. The other is the Bi-State Development Agency. Mm-hmm. But they sort of split up between the two of them things that in some other places are unified. In the Portland Metro, which is the regional government of the three-county Portland area, they have unified land use and economic and transportation planning. You don't have that counterpart here in the St. Louis area. In the Metropolitan Council of the Twin Cities area, they also bring together transportation planning with the ability to control land use development, because the Metropolitan Council owns and operates the entire regional sewage collection and treatment system. So they're able to say, here is the area that we will be willing to provide now and in future wastewater services to, and nobody's going to be allowed to be billed outside of that without hooking onto our system.
How could you restructure East-West Gateway, for instance, in order to consolidate and collaborate better than we're doing right now?
Well, I mean, there are you've got the question of an existing agency that is also established by the two state laws of Illinois and Missouri, and that is ratified by the United States Congress in your Bi-State Development Agency. So you might consider, what are the functions of both of these, and conceivably could these be brought together? If you bring them together, how do you govern them? Do you govern them like a board of all local elected representatives? Do you govern them by boards appointed by governors, which is substantially the way Bi-State Agency works? Or like Portland Metro, do you elect your governing body directly by the citizens? These are all have implications for the kinds of decisions that they can make that you have to resolve here. But let me say, in terms of the politics of all this, when we look at the history of the creation of the Oregon powerful anti-sprawl land use laws and the creation of Portland Metro, or you look at the history of the creation of the Metropolitan Council, the Twin Cities, and their extraordinary region-wide tax-based sharing law, these were actually the creations of conservative Republican leaders at their state levels. It was Republican Governor Tom McCall and state senators like Hector McPherson, a conservative Republican state senator who was with calluses on his hands from being a farmer, that were the driving force behind these progressive elements, and they made common cause with environmentalists and with liberal Democrats to get this accomplished. It was a Republican senator, state senator in the Minnesota legislature, who created the fiscal disparities plan. And I have found and observed that if you can get people that supposedly have entirely different ways of looking at the world to begin to agree on a set of basic facts that describe the realities, and will talk long enough and listen to each other more carefully enough to find out that they share some common values, that on the basis of common facts and common values, you can begin to establish a real partnership to get reforms.
That sounds like a tough order to fill in today's political
tough.
Environment. No question about that. But while we're talking about politics, there's a lot of political turf around here. There are a lot of mayors out there in St. Louis County who are probably pretty happy with being mayor of their community. And the constituents seem to like it. Books have been written about the fact that the constituents, the people who live in those communities, like knowing their mayor and like being able to walk up and knock on the door and talk to them, like knowing their city council people, and that they feel that if there was any kind of consolidation, regardless of how it was structured, they'd lose that.
No, because you still have all of the municipalities in effect. That's been the reality in Louisville, Jefferson County. It's been the reality in Marion County, Indianapolis. You know, these governments didn't go away. They just have a more overarching unit that can do for them all collectively what individually they're not able to do for themselves.
And how do they have input into this overarching board that is going to oversee them? Where is their influence?
In the case of the formerly consolidated communities, you first of all have the citizens voting for that leadership. You know, whether it's Nashville, whether it's Indianapolis, whether it's Jacksonville, etc. But secondly, all of these bodies always have councils of local mayors, et cetera, to advise them on these issues. When Portland Metro goes through consideration of revising their urban growth boundary, there is an extensive consultative process with the local municipalities and with the county leaders of the three counties that they oversee. Mm. But the fact that Portland Metro is governed by an elected chairman of the Metro Council and elected six district councils also gives them a somewhat of a capacity to step back a bit more from the more parochial concerns to try to focus on, all right, what's best for the overall well-being and development of our region.
There is another element in conversations I've had over the years with regard to all this talk of consolidation, merger, whatever you want to call it or characterize it. And that comes from African-American political mm-hmm. leaders who feel that if there is any kind of a consolidation or a board of some sort that is basically going to oversee it, that they will lose the political clout that they have worked so hard to gain over the last 50 years. The city of St. Louis, half the members of the Board of Aldermen are African-American. If there were a consolidation of some sort with St. Louis County, there might be two on a county council of some sort. Do you see what I'm getting at? There's real concern about loss of power.
I certainly understand that. There are also examples, and they are not a small number of examples, where African-Americans have been voted into the major leadership positions of what are still majority white communities and institutions. Mm-hmm. And that is hopefully a process that grows in that respect. But to go back to the question of being a mayor of Detroit or a mayor of Newark or a mayor, African-American mayor of St. Louis, in many ways, these are sinking ships. And what you really have is the situation where the longtime white captain says, hey, I'm out of here. First mate, you take over. Hmm. And first mate's African-American. And in the circumstances, their leadership isn't going to be turning around the fact that the sickest ship is sinking. It's just because the resource base that they have to deal with is sinking. St. Louis as a city has lost probably close to 70% of its nose count in terms of population
sure.
compared to 1950. It's lost a fewer number of households because family size gets smaller. But I'll bet that the St. Louis number, and I've calculated, I just don't remember it off the top of my head, is They've lost about 40% of their households. So that means they've lost 40% of their residential taxpayers for the same level. Of course, services. And you've had total destruction, basically, of your manufacturing base.
We only have a little more than a minute left. You've looked at this, obviously, and have studied it. What would you think at this stage of what you know about it is the best path forward for St. Louis and this region?
I won't assume to prescribe what might be best for you. I would say make sure you get your heads up. Look around the country at the many communities that are very much like you that face the same problems, that have had some success in terms of initiatives they've had, and how you might consider adapting their models to your circumstance. But above all, I would also go back to something I said earlier. Don't just assume that because there's a label of Democrat or a label of Republican or a label of liberal or a label of conservative or a label of white or a label of African-American on a person, that creates a chasm that can't be bridged. You know, work to find that common basis of facts and that common basis of values, and then build upon that.
Well, perhaps this series of forums, which is launched today, will accomplish just that.
That's indeed the purpose of it.
David Rusk, thank you so much for being with us. It's a pleasure meeting you. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at sdlpublicradio.org. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.